Good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Committee on Environment and Natural Resources for May 31st, Tuesday. First, I'm going to make a couple of announcements. We did think this was going to be our last hearing and our last committee today, but we have another committee scheduled tomorrow at 4:45, just in case, because we are still waiting on fiscal statements for a couple of our bills. So House Bill 3280A will be held over. The work session will be held over for tomorrow. I also am going to note that House Bill, let's see, where is our facilities bill? 3465. This bill is going to be moved to another committee because we just got the amendments. We don't have any paperwork. So we are basically out of time for that bill, and we're going to move House Bill 3465A to Rules. Just want to let folks know, if you're here to testify on those bills, that those will be, one will be moved to another committee, one will be held over till tomorrow. And with that, now that the good representative has arrived, we will open up a public hearing on House Bill 3127A, and welcome, Representative. We were waiting for you, so thank you for honoring us with your presence.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was confused when you said the good representative.
Vic Gilliam. I can understand that.
Vic Gilliam, for the record, I am the State Representative from District 18, Silverton, Molalla, and other parts. Thank you for having me here today.
Parts of Oregon?
Yes. Thank you for that clarification. It's always a pleasure to be in front of you, Madam Chair. As you know, Senator Hass and I both have a lot of experience with dump trucks. I think we owned several together for years. Sold them. You may wonder why I'm here with about dump trucks, and it's very simple. It's something that you all do every day, and that is advocating for a very important constituent of one. And that's what I'm doing today, and that's why I appreciate you hearing this bill. Everybody talks about jobs. Some people are wearing job lapels, pins, and I too am here to say this is a very small but real jobs bill. And if you agree, Jim Altshauser will put several people back to work yesterday. So I hope you will have an opportunity to either review his testimony or listen to him today. And I appreciate your hearing this bill to park seven dump trucks and seven trailers on land that is zoned for forest or mixed farm and forest use. I think it's small but important. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. So we don't have a sign-up sheet, but I think if you said you wanted to invite your constituent up to testify?
Yes, okay. If you will.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Are you going to stay and wait for questions?
Well, I'm doing what you're doing, right, at the building and the room next.
I don't know.
Yeah. So we don't have a sign-up sheet, so what... Okay, so it's Jim Altheimer?
Yeah,
Altheiser.
Altheiser. Well, you know, sounds close.
There is.
Without a sign-up sheet, there you go.
All right.
Thank you, Representative. We'll let you get back to your business over there.
Business you'll be impressed with when we're done.
Let's hope. Okay, I apologize. So we'll have Mr. Altshauser up.
Good afternoon. I'm Jim Altshauser. The bill that I introduced with Vic Gilliam into the House of Representatives is very important to me for reason of needing a place to park my trucks and so forth. As in Clackamas County, there's really no industrial ground or anywhere that's reasonably priced or whatever to where a person can so-called legally be. The prices and the distance to go to find places like that. I mean, we're probably 25, 30 miles just to get somewhere. And a lot of our drivers are all local. It would be an inconvenience to them to be driving those types of distances. We buy our tires, our parts, and everything local, our fuel local. And it adds up to quite a little bit. Last year, our payroll was about $110,000, which, you know, for a small business, that's quite a bit. Last year, we paid over $7,500 in license fees to the state of Oregon. We paid over $26,000 in weight mile tax for the trucks, which, you know, that's quite a sum. I don't recall exactly what our payroll taxes were last year, but they were, you know, sizable on $100,000 of payroll or $110,000.
Sir, could you explain to us exactly, we're not familiar with what exactly the problem is. I think that would be helpful. And if it's at the county level?
It is county level. I've had my dump trucking business there for just shy of 22 years.
And this is in Clackamas County?
In Clackamas County, out of Estacada.
Out of Estacada, okay.
And somebody drove through about 6 years ago, filed a complaint with code compliance in Clackamas County. And for the last 6 years, we've been going back and forth they've been basically telling me that I can't be there. It's not legal for me to be there. We've tried applying for permits to have them there. I've even applied for a permit just to have one truck there, and I've been told, no, you can't be there. And so it's that's where the big problem comes into. I virtually have no place to go with my trucks, and so I actually originally 2 years ago worked with Fred Gerard's office on a similar bill as this, and we didn't even make it this far. But it's a real problem. The Clackamas County, they're at the point they've actually started assessing civil penalties. So at this point, I'm actually almost looking at just going out of business rather than keep fighting it, you know, because there's just nowhere for me to go. And it's, you know, I mean, we don't bring our work home with us. We just bring the trucks in, park them, and we go out the next day, go to work. We pave, we work on major road construction. We work for a lot of the major contractors, Morris Brothers Knife River, Wildish Construction, who does a lot of bridge construction, dirt and aggregate, Kaufman Construction, all major contractors out here. And we provide a service is what we do. And it just, you know, basically we just need to be able to bring our trucks in, park them, drivers go home, they come back, get the trucks, go back to work. We don't do our work there, you know, as far as doing anything construction-wise and so forth.
Okay. I think we have a question, and then I'm going to ask the Department of Land Conservation Development to come up. Senator Olson?
Yes, Mr. Althauser. I used to live in Estacada, and mm-hmm. It's Senator Thompson's district. Exactly where is your land located, and how big is it?
We have 5 acres. We're located,
north, south, east, or west?
Kind of southeast. We're right up close to the National Forest.
Okay.
There's Port Blakely Timber has a piece of property between us and the National Forest.
How many neighbors do you have around?
Boy, I never really thought about that.
Okay.
Just a quick count in the back of my mind.
Not a lot, really.
About 10.
Not a lot really close. Do you have neighbors right next door?
There are some next door.
Do you have a parking lot to put the trucks on?
I do have a lot that we park them on.
Do you fuel there?
No, we do not fuel there.
Fuel down in Estacada?
Yeah, yes.
At the
Pacific
Pride, yeah.
Yes.
And you probably get your tires down there at Les Schwab or something like that?
We do get our tires from Les Schwab.
So basically the county has said that they don't want you to park those 7 trucks on your 5 acres.
That's right.
And reason being it's farmland or forest
land? Because it's TBR ground or farm ground, or not farm ground, timber ground, mm-hmm. or forest ground. And they say that in their little piece of paper, it says I can't be there. But if I had a gravel pit there, I could have all the trucks I wanted. I could have 100 trucks there if it was a gravel pit. But as to just park them there, I can't do that.
Are your trucks visible from the road?
At this time, they are.
Okay. On your 5 acres, do you have a lot of trees?
Yeah, we went in when we bought it. It was covered with garbage and brush and blackberries. We went in, we cleared it, and we've planted roughly 7,000 trees over the last 20 years. We can feed the elk and the deer.
Representative Gilliam, has he tried to work with the county and talk to the county about it?
Not to my knowledge.
The reason I ask, Madam Chair, is that I have several constituents that are dealing with similar situations, not trucks, different situations where the county has been very stringent upon the use. In one case, they want my constituent to bulldoze 14 acres of trees to turn it back into farmland. So this is a situation I think we need to look closely in at the county level and find out what's going on.
Do you want to have the department come up?
Yes, absolutely, and see what...
Michael, would you like to come up? And I don't know if there's anybody here from Clackamas County. I don't see anybody. And then,
You can stay there.
I just have a quick question for Jim.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Dingfeller. Jim, what I understand, the current law allows 7 log trucks. You could park 7 log trucks on your property right now.
Technically, I think there's a technicality there because the current law on that is 7 log trucks on agricultural ground. I don't know if that construes back across the timber ground or vice versa. They tried to explain it to me at one time, and I can't remember.
Michael? That's why we have the experts here.
Experts are here.
Madam Chair and committee members, I'm Michael Morrissey. I'm a policy analyst with the Department of Land Conservation and Development. Currently, there are many allowances for non-farm uses on farm ground, and those over the years have been the subject for either expansion or, in the case of a session or two ago, to try to kind of whittle some of those down. For forest lands, however, the only non-forest related uses that are currently in the statutes are for dwellings. So part of the issue here...
What was that, please?
They're for dwellings.
Dwellings.
For non-forest uses, right. Part of the issue here is, do you want to go ahead and start now allowing additional uses in forest zones the way that's happening in farm zones?
Yeah.
As far as the county goes, I haven't reviewed it recently, but when this bill was over on the House side, I did review the county records. The county Mr. Althauser, to try to find a way to do this under their home occupation statutes. My understanding was, and I talked to the county planner, that they could have done 1 or 2, and I know you said they wouldn't let you do that, so I'm not really here to try to argue with you about that, but that's kind of what I heard. But for more than that, the county was going to have some difficulty allowing it under their home occupation statutes. I know there was a hearings officer report on this issue, and the hearings officer found that this really didn't work in their forest zone, and of course they, to some degree, bounced back to some of the state regs. Now, the state regs really don't say that this is or isn't allowed. There just isn't any provision for parking dump trucks in forest zones. And so what the House side did with this bill was to put this use in the ag rules and cross-reference to allow it in forest zones. This bill started out allowing 10 dump trucks, and the House amended it down to 7 and, again, put it in the agricultural statutes. I don't know whether there is something on the books right now where the county is doing any additional work to allow this. I'm not sure. And so the issue that I presented to the House side was, well, whether you just want to start doing kind of, I'll just use the word one-off exceptions for either house, for agricultural or forest lands. And so you know what they came up with. So it did, I mean, I think Mr. Althauser has been through quite a bit of work with the county to try to find a way to do it, and the county so far said the best we can do is, under the circumstances, is to allow one or two as a home occupation. And just for the record, so I believe that this your residence, I think, is quite a ways outside of Estacada. I don't know how far, but it's on forest land, and it's not in an urban area, and the most likely place to be able to park these trucks is in industrial land in some urbanized area, and there are some rural industrial areas as well, but I think that's the nub of the problem.
Well, what I think I'm going to ask you to do, and since this sounds like it's in Senator Thompson's district, is that correct?
No, it's Senator Gerard's, but it's cool.
Okay. So I'm going to ask if you, the department, can work with Senator Thompson, and it sounds like Senator Olson as well, and see if we can find a resolution for this issue, and if not, I have a feeling we'll be back here, but certainly appreciate the fact that the department's willing to work and help us find
right.
a resolution.
I have a question. In the forest zone, if they've got a dwelling, how many cars are they allowed to have?
I don't believe it speaks to cars, frankly.
So there's no limitation on vehicles, just as long as they're not dump trucks?
There's no limitations that I'm aware of, one way or the other, on vehicles, period. And again, on ag land, you're allowed to have forest trucks on ag land. And I think that maybe for some people that created a kind of disconnect. Why do you allow forest trucks on ag land, but you can't allow dump trucks in forest zones? But I don't think it speaks to vehicles one way or another that I'm aware of. And I guess would say that this is, it might be one thing if it was for personal use, those vehicles. It might be another thing if it was for a commercial use that wasn't explicitly forestry related.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Follow-up,
Mr. Althauser, if this doesn't move today, what's the repercussions from the county? What have they told you at the time?
Civil penalties.
Pardon?
Civil penalties.
And what are those civil penalties? How much are they?
At this point, I would say probably $2,500 as to whether it's a day, week, or month. And then
is that per vehicle?
No, that's just overall
lot.
Right at the moment. And their next step is to take it to legal action. I was actually told that they were supposed to already taken it to legal action, even though it only received one civil penalty. That I can't remember what they call her, but the head person of the code compliance, you know, says start the legal proceedings. So that's what I was told, even though I had legislation going on it and so forth. And I haven't heard what's going on. I haven't talked to anybody as of late.
Can I ask you a question?
We do have the Association of Oregon Counties. I'm going to have to move on. We have the Association of Oregon Counties here, so I think I'm going to ask them to follow up, if you could, with Senator Olson. I see a shaking of the head and after the hearing today. So with that, we're going to go ahead and close the public hearing on House Bill 3127A. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for coming here. I will ask Art, if you can follow up, Art Schlack from Association of Oregon Counties, please. I think that would be helpful. With that, do we want to move on to our next first hearing?
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of people here for House Bill 3613A. We'll open up a public hearing on that. And Representative Betts, I see that you're waiting back there. Thank you. And I think that Richard Whitman will be here shortly, correct?
Yep.
Okay. And we have many people signed up to speak on this. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Cliff Benz, State Representative, District 60. And thank you for hearing this bill. Very important to, I hope, all of Oregon. The idea underlying the bill was to clarify the Department of Ag and the Department of Environmental Quality's roles in clean water regulation. The concept was driven in part by the new higher, more stringent toxic standards that are going to result as a result of current DEQ rulemaking. And I would simply, I think one of the reasons I was concerned about this, I went back and spent some time looking at the minutes of the DEQ. I actually went back to October 23rd in 2008 and looked at item G, and there was a sentence that kind of highlights the concerns that this bill tries to address. This is taken right out of the minutes. It says environmentally meaningful, cost-effective implementation. And it says, therefore, a significant policy issue and component of this rulemaking is to develop implementation tools that DEQ can use to ensure that toxic pollutant control and reduction efforts occur in the most environmentally meaningful, cost-effective, and equitable manner possible without causing severe or widespread economic hardship. I took that right out of the October 23rd EQC meeting minutes, and I was happy to see it there because, of course, it reflects the fact that this is a process that is going to be very important, but it's going to cost a lot of money. And so the challenge is, how do we approach it in the most effective way possible? So the bill is crafted to allow farmers and ranchers and others on non-point source pollutant generators to know for sure that it's the Department of Ag that would be overseeing what they're doing. And that, indeed, if the Department of Ag doesn't do its job correctly, the DEQ would have the power, retain the power, to step in and do whatever it needs to do. There's been continued conversation and discussion about exactly how that would happen. How would the DEQ step up if it viewed what the Department of Ag as inadequate? And the answer is complicated. And there have been a series of meetings to try to sort that out. That process continues right up to a few minutes before this meeting. I believe that process is not in any way negatively affected by the passage of this bill. I think it would, in fact, should you choose to pass this bill, be required that conversation continue. I think that the Department of Ag and the DEQ are indeed now trying to work out through a memorandum of understanding what would happen if that process is not addressed in this bill. And it wouldn't be, it can't be, we don't have enough time left. But I do think this bill advances all of Oregon's interests. I would hope that other folks would support my position on the bill, and I would encourage the committee to pass it. I want to reemphasize the amount of work that's gone into just the bill, because I think it's a good piece of work, supported, I think, by many. I believe there's more work to be done, but I think this bill stands alone. And with that, Madam Chair, I thank you for your time and appreciate the committee's interest.
Thank you, Representative Benz. Do you want to stick around? The governor's office is here, or do you need to get back to your committee?
I have to go back to the committee. They're holding another bill for my return.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Whitman?
Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee, for the record, Richard Whitman, the governor's natural resource advisor. We have been working along with the other groups working on this legislation for over a month. There's an enormous amount of time that's gone in good faith from the Oregon Farm Bureau, Oregon Cattlemen, Department of Agriculture, Department of Environmental Quality, Oregon Environmental Council, several riverkeeper organizations. My main comment about this process has been that I think it has been extremely productive in significantly increasing the level of trust between the agricultural community and between environmental regulators and environmental organizations in terms of how our water quality laws are developed and implemented. I think the level of trust among that group is, we've built a remarkable level of goodwill among that group. And I'm very pleased to see that, and I want to commend each and every one of the members of the work group that has worked on this legislation. We did just finish a work group meeting shortly before your hearing here today. There are still several issues that there are not agreement on among the members of the group, and those areas aren't even, in my mind, necessarily areas of disagreement so much as they are areas that require a little bit more discussion among members of the group to make sure that everybody is on the same page in terms of their understanding of how this would roll out. So we don't have language for those areas of the bill. I would say there's agreement on 90% to 95% of what's in this bill right now, but not everybody's there on the remaining 5% or 10%, and that comes from that discomfort comes from all sides. It comes from the farm community, also comes from OEC and some of the other environmental organizations. The governor's office has been involved in this because I think institutionally and in terms of ongoing support for the 10-10 program, it's important to us that there be a broad, common understanding of how this program is being and will be implemented in the future, and that we have that consensus about how the program moves forward. So this has been an encouraging process for us to participate in. But I think in terms of the governor's office, our recommendation at this point would be that and I believe we have the concurrence from other participants in the work group that we continue the discussions in a work group during the interim and come back with a fully formed, fully fleshed out bill for the Legislative Assembly in 2012 on this issue. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Questions for the director?
I just have a question.
Senator Thompson.
Senator, on the second page of the bill, number 5, subsection of this section does not change or reduce the authority of the Environmental Quality Commission or the Department of Environmental Quality under RS 468B-1110 to adopt a total maximum daily load that includes load allocations for non-point sources of pollution associated with agriculture activities on agricultural lands. Do they have that? Does DEQ have that ability to do that now?
Chair Dingfelder, Senator Thompson, yes, they do. Part of DEQ's responsibility under the Federal Clean Water Act is once a water quality standard has been met and it's been determined that once a water quality standard has been established and it has been determined that it's not being met, to essentially develop a plan for how to meet it, looking at both point sources, your industries and your municipal discharges, and your non-point sources, and putting together an overall plan for how to meet it. That's the total maximum daily load. It's determining who has what share of the burden, if you will, of meeting that standard. And then the specific load and waste load allocations are more specific allocations of that burden to individual parts of our society.
So they have the ability to set that plan, but do they have the ability to regulate that? I think that's where there's some.
So, Chair Dingfelder, Senator Thompson, right now under state law, we already have, in terms of the statutes for the 1010 program, statutory language that directs ODA to take the lead in assuring that water quality standards are met from agriculture.
Thank you. I just wanted to get that on the record.
Yep.
Any other questions for the director? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we have several people signed up to testify. We're going to have Sue Marshall, Patrick Kapper, is that right? And let's have Jim Myron come up. Okay, whoever wants to go first. Well, Welcome.
Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee, my name is Patrick Apper with the Oregon Association of Nurseries, here in support of House Bill 3613. Briefly, we feel that this bill does clarify some very important language. If, in fact, there is a movement to work this bill during the interim, we would like to be part of those discussions. And I appreciate your time and happy to answer any questions. Thanks.
Thank you. Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee, my name is Sue Marshall. I'm here today representing Tualatin Riverkeepers and Willamette Riverkeeper. We're opposed to House Bill 3613A. We have been engaged in the informal work group and trying to work out some language. The latest iteration we still have some problems with. I would like to, though, commend everyone. I think it has been a good faith effort, and we found a remarkable level of agreement. I think the remaining concerns, we still need some time, and I would agree with Richard Whitman that an interim work group would be very worthwhile. This is very complex. It didn't receive really very much of a hearing on the House side. It was the last bill on the last day of the policy committee, and here we are almost on the last day of this committee. Given the trust that's been established, I think if we could work out those remaining concerns in the work group, that would really very much behoove us. There really, I can appreciate Representative Bent's concerns related to new toxic rules, but there won't be a rush to implement new rules. It really takes years for it to percolate up to the point where there's a TMDL and load allocations that may or may not be assigned to agriculture, so that work will be continuing over a number of years, and as we can come to some firm understanding of the relationship between DEQ and the Department of Ag related to water quality, that would set the stage for that to be implemented appropriately. Thank you. Mr. Myron.
Thank you, Chair Dingfelder and members of the committee. My name is Jim Myron. I'm here representing Native Fish Society. You have some written comments from us, and we, too, are opposed to the bill. We have been peripherally involved in the work group that's been working on this bill. We would continue to work during the interim if a task force is convened. And let me just say that, you know, there has been progress made, but there's a ways to go, and it's going to take a lot more time, I think. So, thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for any of these panelists?
I have one.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Myron, basically the bill allows ODA to take care of the water quality under the auspices of DEQ. Do you think that ODA is not responsible and won't handle the job well?
Senator Olson, members of the committee, my experience over the last 18 years in watching the Oregon Department of Agriculture implement the 10-10 plan is that they're trying, but they're woefully understaffed. They've got five people to cover the entire state, and it's basically a voluntary program that is complaint-driven. It's not an effective program, in my opinion.
Do you know how many people DEQ would have there to cover this program?
Chair Dingfelder, Co-Chair Olson, and members, no, I don't. I think somebody from DEQ is here, and they could probably answer that.
We have somebody.
I don't know. I'll have to
see. I saw Greg earlier.
Do you have anybody from DEQ lurking? Yes, we do, way back there, hiding.
Okay. Then we'll cancel that question.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
No, but
okay, thank you. Do you want him to come up now, or you want to wait and hear the rest of the testimony?
Well, whatever your choice. Your option.
Sure.
If we're going to get to him, we'll get to him.
Yeah, we'll get to him. Greg, why don't you hold on? Let's hear the rest of the testimony, and then you can come up and answer that question. We'll have Chris Fick, Katie Fast, and Jim Welch, who I thought I saw. Yep, come on up.
I guess I'm the chosen one.
You're
Katie Fast with Oregon Farm Bureau Federation. Oregon Farm Bureau supports House Bill 3613A. In 1993, the legislature passed the Ag Water Quality Management Act, and that became known in the agricultural community as Senate Bill 1010. And over that time, every watershed in the state has had a local advisory committee that's written a Senate Bill 1010 plan to deal with ag water quality management, and also in conjunction with the TMDL set by DEQ. Those plans have regulatory rules that are set by ODA, and they have a regulatory scheme that that trickles down to fines on landowners if they're not in compliance with the rules. The intent of 3613 is not to change the management of the program or the fundamentals of the program, but to clarify what the agency's roles and authorities are in dealing with ag water quality issues. We are disappointed that agreement has not been reached amongst the stakeholders around this piece of legislation, and are committed to work in an interim work group if that's decided by this legislature to bring something back, hopefully during the February session.
Thank you, Katie. Whoever wants to go next?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, other members of the committee. For the record, Chris Fick with the League of Oregon Cities. The League had significant reservations about this bill as it was passed on the House side. From our perspective, the bill could potentially weaken clean water standards and put the burden of complying with the state's more stringent water quality standards on the point source community, cities, and industry. Since that time, we've been able to work on potential amendments with the Farm Bureau and with the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. We think that we've come a long way towards ameliorating those concerns, but we're not quite there yet. We urge this committee to, in the interim, let those parties continue to work on a compromise bill that all parties can agree to, that clarify the roles of both the Oregon Department of Agriculture and the Department of Environmental Quality, which is our primary concern, is also clarifying both agencies' role in this process moving forward. And we hope to return to this committee in 2012 with a bill that we can all support.
Thank you. Jim?
Chair Dingfelder and committee members, Jim Welsh representing Oregon Cattlemen. And, you know, the Oregon Cattlemen weren't the very first group that climbed on in agreement after 1993 with Senate Bill 1010. But I guarantee you, over the years, as it's evolved, and we've seen the program, we've seen some funding through OWEB, we've seen the involvement and the commitment at the local level, especially of those, you know, we have cattlemen that are serving on watershed councils, and we've seen the water quality management program in action and what the results of those. And I have also seen some of the action and commitment between DEQ and Department of Agriculture with the CAFO program, something that is definitely designed for water quality in this state, as our 1010 program is. And the way they work together, we really support, but we were wanting some clarification, and we support Senate Bill 3613 as it's written. There's no doubt about that, because we're at the table and we made a commitment to stay there, and we are for the future too. And we know that there are some, as Richard Whitman was talking about here, not only commitment coming from the governor's office, but from the agencies. We're not quite there. We've probably got 5 to 10% that we have to work through, working with the environmental community also. So we are hoping that you would support this effort, and we will work on in the interim to accomplish something I think that will be even better for us in the future. Thank you.
Any questions?
I have one. If this bill fails to get past this session, what is the repercussions? Will any new rules or anything kick in?
Chair Dingfelder, Senator Olson, I think a little bit's unknown. There were This legislation came out of concerns that the agricultural community and others had with some language that's proposed in the toxic rulemaking that DEQ has going forward. We've been working through that rulemaking process and are hopeful that maybe through the discussions that we've had in the work groups that that language will not move forward and be adopted by the EQC. So I think a little bit's unknown around that piece. But I think in the everyday management of the program, I don't think we'll see any differences if this legislation passes or not.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I have a follow-up. I lost my train of thought.
Okay, well, we can see if there's other questions. We can have them come back.
Okay.
They'll be in the back. We can just pull them back up. Thank you. Let's have Allison Henze, Emily Ackland, and Tom Wolf. And then we can pull DEQ up so they can answer your question. Hey, whoever wants to go first. Tom, we know you're never shy.
Chair Dingfelder, committee members, my name is Tom Wolf, Chair of the Oregon Council of Trout Unlimited. I have not been involved deeply in this bill because, frankly, there's been a lot of other bills I've been involved with, but I've been following it closely with Sue Marshall, and Trout Unlimited opposes 3613, but we think that the process that they're involved with, the work task force should be continued in the interim, and a stronger bill should come back. We'll be able to create a stronger bill that could come back for the 2012 session. Thank you.
Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee, I'm Allison Henze with the Oregon Environmental Council. I have been part of the work group that folks have been talking about, and I want to commend everybody who's been involved, from the governor's office to the agencies to the agricultural community and conservation groups, on a very productive discussion. And I think we've made a lot of progress in understanding one another's priorities and concerns and coming to agreement on some of the language. But there are some still significant points that we need to work through. And so right now, Oregon Environmental Council has to oppose House Bill 3613A. However, I do want to make it clear that I support the Oregon Department of Agriculture being the lead in this program, but it's important to me that we, in addition to clarifying ODA's role, be very clear about what DEQ's role as the agency responsible for water quality protection in the state that needs to ensure that ODA's program is effective in the end. So I also support an interim work group to work through language that clarifies both agencies' roles and in the end ensures both protection of water quality and a thriving agricultural industry here in the state.
Thank you.
Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee. My name is Emily Ackland. I'm the Environmental Policy Manager with the Association of Oregon Counties. AOC supports House Bill 3613A. It is our understanding that the bill will clarify the relationship between DEQ and ODA to encourage improved water quality in the rural parts of Oregon. Counties support the effort to provide this clarity, and perhaps this bill provides a platform for further discussions on this issue that may occur in the interim. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions for any of these witnesses?
I have one.
Senator Olson.
I hear all these.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. We hear all this, the bill is almost there, it's almost there, but nobody's put their thumb on what exactly it is that is holding it up. Could you answer that question?
I'd be happy to, Chair Dingfelder, Vice Chair Olson. So I think probably the primary areas of disagreement are in clarification of what DEQ's backstop authority is for the program as the agency that is responsible for water quality here in the state. And then also there's a provision that modifies the requirement that the 10-10 program meet water quality standards with the phrase "to the maximum extent practicable." And I think folks need to work through what that means, because it's not defined right now, and it provides a lack of clarity about what that would mean on the ground.
Simple answer. Okay.
No, I just...
Do you have a follow-up?
I have a follow-up. That it was interesting that you said lack of clarity, because I've heard that term used before on a few other bills we've seen go through this building. So if those two areas were clarified, in other words, what is the definition of maximum allowed or whatever it was.
Extent practicable.
Extent practicable. Yeah, how would you define that? How would you change that to make a definition that everyone would appreciate and understand?
Well, we haven't been able to come to agreement on that, and there have been some suggestions, but I don't think anybody's found a good answer to that yet. And I, from my perspective, the more important issue, actually, is clarifying DEQ's backstop authority.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? All right, thank you very much. I think that we wanted to have the DEQ up to answer staffing question. Anybody else like to testify on House Bill 3613A. Greg, you want to come up, please? I don't know. Richard, do you want to try? Okay. You'll let him fend for himself.
Okay. Good afternoon. Greg Aldridge, Department of Environmental Quality. So I believe the question from Senator Olson was how many people in the TMDL program and how many working in the agricultural component? Is that pretty much it? So I don't have the exact budget numbers in front of me. I'm going to say 30 to 35 total people in the TMDL program. That's both implementation of the TMDLs as well as creation of the TMDLs. So there's two parts. One is to actually doing the TMDL, which often is called a clean water plan, and then part two is actually implementing that. So when we do that, if you heard earlier, mentioned to load allocations, and that is what it comes out of a TMDL, and if it infects the agricultural or the forested part of the state, then load allocation goes to either the Department of Forestry or the Department of Agriculture to implement that. We at DEQ do not have staff to actually implement any of that work in those areas. We have some staff that work both with ODA and ODF cooperatively to better understand some of the issues, but we do not have staff on DEQ payroll to actually implement what would really be the 10-10 plan work in the agricultural community. So hopefully that answers your question.
It does. How does DEQ think it's 3613? Do they like it?
We've been supportive of the bill. Sorry, Chair Dingfelder and Senator Olson, we have been supportive of the bill, both the earlier version and the new one, and we'd be supportive of additional clarifications as being proposed during the interim.
Would there be any ramifications if this bill didn't pass now? Are you going to institute any laws in the next 6 months or rules in the next 6 months that would affect this water quality standard?
Chair Dingfelder and Senator Olson, well, we will be likely implementing a new water quality standard because that's before the EQC next month. So if they take action on that, that may go into effect in that time frame. But it's not going to change how we work with the Department of Agriculture in the 10-10 process, which is really what this bill is about, is to clarify the process, not change the process.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, with that, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 3613A. I just want to make sure I got the A in there. And we will go into our work session portion of the committee meeting here. So with that, I will open up a work session on House Bill 3465A for the purposes of moving it to the Senate Rules Committee.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3465A without recommendation back to the President for re-referral to another committee.
If Senator Prezonsky moves House Bill 3465A without recommendation back to the Senate President for re-referral to another committee, and I will ask for discussions with colleagues. I will tell you we have a dash A6, A7. There's also an A8, which literally just was put into my hand. So obviously we are running out of time for this bill, and I'll just leave it at that. Any discussion?
Question. Mm-hmm. And this is because I'm new. Why can't we handle it here today?
We just received these, and we are pretty much out of time.
And we can't do anything tomorrow?
We have no paperwork.
Yeah. That's really the issue. The issue is trying to get the paperwork following. I think everyone's in agreement that a bill needs to move forward. It's close to being there, but having the I's dotted and the T's crossed, more than likely we'll not have that done before tomorrow.
And rules, it has greater length than we do.
They are open as long as they want to be, basically.
Rules is kind of the depository at this point for all bills coming across.
Thank you. Appreciate that explanation.
Any other questions? Any other discussions? Okay, any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. Okay, we'll close the work session on House Bill 3465A, and we will go ahead and open up the rest of our work sessions for the day. House Bill 2875A. Beth, can you remind us where we are with amendments?
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, members of the committee, there is a -A3 amendment in front of you, which is a modified version of an amendment that was discussed at a hearing a week or so ago. This is the amendment that was, I think, Sue Marshall in particular discussed from Audubon. There is a minimal fiscal impact on the -A3, no revenue impact. And just overall, this is the bill that defines public lands as land owned by the state of Oregon and establishes that there should be open access to hunting unless the state agency limits access for public safety, wildlife management, or any other reason determined to be in the public interest.
Okay, so we have the -A3s in front of us. Senator, would you like to make a motion on adopting the -A3s to 2875?
Madam Chair, I move... Wait a minute. Where are we here? Oh, I move to adopt the A3 amendment dated 5/23/11.
Okay, Senator also moves to adopt the -A3 amendments into House Bill 2875. They're dated 5/23/11. Any comments or discussion on this? Any objections to adopting these amendments? Okay, so noted. Senator Thompson objects. Okay, with that, the motion carries and the amendments are adopted. I'll take a motion for the bill.
Madam Chair, I move 2875A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
And as amended by the -A3s.
As amended by the -A3s.
Okay, thank you. Senator Olson moves House Bill 2875A as amended with the -A3s to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Senator Haas?
Aye.
Senator Donskey?
Aye.
Senator Thompson?
No.
Senator
Olson?
Aye.
Senator
Dingfelder? Aye. That the motion carries. Do we have any volunteers that would like to carry this bill? I'm assuming Senator Thompson probably doesn't want to.
I'll be glad to.
Senator Przanski?
Sure.
Okay. And with that, we will close the work session on House Bill 2875A. We'll go ahead and open up a work session on House Bill 3408. And Beth, you can tell us about... I think we have an amendment for that as well, correct?
You do. Madam Chair, members of the committee, there's a -1 amendment that you discussed last week. This is the bill that deals with making irrigation reservoirs an outright permitted use. For the -1, there's a minimal fiscal impact, no statement was issued, and no revenue impact.
Okay. I will accept an amendment on a motion on the -1 amendments.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt the amendment dated 5/23/11,
3408-1. Okay, Senator also moves to adopt the -1 amendments into House Bill 3408. Those are dated 5/23/11. Any discussions? Any comments on this? Any objections? Okay, seeing none, the amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3408-1 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves House Bill 3408 as amended with the -1s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Senator Haas?
Aye.
Senator Przanski?
Aye.
Senator Thompson?
Aye.
Senator Olson?
Aye.
Chair Dean
Aye. With that, the motion carries, and Senator Thompson, would you like to carry the bill?
Sure.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, with that, we will close the work session on House Bill 3408. And we have our last work session for today. We'll open up a work session on House Bill 3516A. Beth?
Madam Chair, members, House Bill 3516A is a bill that you heard on May 12th. This is the bill that would authorize installation and use of solar systems on residential or commercial structures in zones where they are authorized. There is a -810 amendment in front of you, which replaces the bill. I think primarily clarifies the provisions of the original measure while also requiring that these systems be mounted in a certain way and that the county and cities respond to permit applications and, on these on these systems. There is a minimal fiscal impact on the Dash A10 and no revenue impact.
Okay. So with that, I will take a motion on the Dash A10.
I have a question, Madam Chair.
Sure.
Who wrote the Dash 10 amendment?
Our committee staff, actually.
There was a small work group that met to discuss the amendment.
Yeah, we were part of it.
Uh-huh. I just want to put that on the
I was going to after you made the motion. So I'll accept a motion, Senator Olson.
Okay, Madam Chair, I move to adopt the amendment 810 for House Bill 3516 dated 5/26/11.
Okay, Senator Olson moves to adopt the Dash A10 amendments into House Bill 3516. Those are dated 5/26/2011. Is there any discussion? I was just going to say that I very much appreciate the assistance of Senator Olson. We formed a little mini work group on this bill, and as you can see, we got up to the Dash 10 amendments, and certainly appreciate also Beth Herzog, who staffed that committee. I think we had many iterations, but I feel that we worked collaboratively on this, and I wanted to thank Senator Olson for his assistance. Any comments?
No.
Okay. With that, any objections to adopting the Dash A10s? Seeing none, the amendments are adopted. I'll take another motion.
Madam Chair, I move to... Where am I again?
You're moving the bill as amended.
Oh, that's right. I move House Bill 3516 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Senator Olson moves House Bill 3516 as amended with the Dash A10s to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Okay. The clerk will call the roll, please.
Senator
House? Aye.
Senator
Thompson?
Aye. Senator
Thompson?
Aye.
Senator
Olson? Aye. Aye. And oops, I guess I shouldn't have done that before I said aye. And the motion carries, and Senator Olson, I was going to see if you would like to carry since you did a lot of work on this. Whoa, I was quick on the draw there.
I think there was a 4-0 vote, not a 5-0.
It was just for the record, it was 5-0. I did not put myself out of order. And Senator Olson is a carrier, and with that, we will close the work session on House Bill 3516. I'm assuming you said yes to that, right? And we are carrying over the work session on House Bill 3280A. We are meeting tomorrow at 4. We have posted tomorrow at 4:45 p.m. We will be posting at 4:45 p.m. We are still under 1 hour notice. Is that correct?
Yep.
But just want to make sure everybody gets that on their calendar. Please check the agenda. And
when you finish.
And with that, we'll see if there's any questions.
All right, Madam Chair, based on my calendar, it looks like the only bill that we will have up tomorrow at 4:45 will be the House Bill 3280A.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, with that, we are adjourned. And stay tuned for the...